Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. My head in the clouds, hands and feet on the ground. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. All right. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. We are here together in person. I'm Mike. We got Max. We got Shane. We're doing a funny recording setup right now. Max is laughing because I just recorded that whole thing with my eyes closed.
Yeah, why were your eyes closed?
I was trying to project myself somewhere other than
Welcome
here.
Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm here with Mike and Shane.
Well, I think you did it so you don't feel self-conscious doing something performative like the opening intro, but then you got like called out on it.
I did.
So well, it backfired.
We're also very tight quarters. It's the, it's us three and then Ash is here as well. And we're in like a small edit bay at 299. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're real tight right now.
Yeah. But I will say when I listen back to the podcast, when you do that opening, it always feels very forced in the room. But then when I listen to it on afterward, I'm like, oh, it's very professional. It's
That's
good.
The mark of a pro.
I know you're great.
Yeah. So many times I'll do a pod and I'll be like, I was awkward during that whole podcast. And then I listen to it. I'm like, sound cool.
You've been very funny lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, we're off to a roaring start. Hey, I like your hat.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I got it in Nolens.
Nolens. Yes. Tell us about your trip to Nolens.
Oh, and also, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
This is the first chance we've had to say happy birthday.
Thank you for sending me nice messages, Ash and Max.
Who had the nicest message of all your friends?
Probably Greg.
No way.
And come on. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because he cheated. He did AI. A video message. And I've realized that's the best message to do.
Oh, see, he was at my desk
and he made it funny, just talking about, I don't know, our life together or something. And he made it very funny and sweet. Nice. You know, Mike probably gave the worst text message, but Mike actually did a lot setting up my party and everything. So I thank him for that. Mike always goes above and beyond in every other. Yours was great, Max. Max, yours was great. Yours made me feel special. And you used the right words to describe me. You know, it was kind of like it could be perceived as insulting, but like.
No.
It could be perceived as insulting. You were like, you're a unique person. I'll tell you that.
One of a kind.
Yes. Remarkable appearance you had.
It's a milestone birthday. And to the point, I saw you on the Sunday and you'd mentioned that lots of people were messaging you lots of stuff like these profound messages about what it means to turn 40. And then I did reflect on my own message, which I think was a very succinct happy birthday, Big Daddy.
Yes, which I like.
But I feel like you and I always have so many big life talks that there's nothing I could put in writing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how I feel about you. And we've like, what could I philosophize on about turning 40?
It's
you know?
Very true.
So
100%. You get a pass on everything. And I expect nothing from anyone anyway. But J.R. Diggs, who I hadn't spoken to in a long time, he sent me a message. A lot of messages that were kind of depressing. I did receive a bunch like, oh, you're finally old and all this. You're officially old, all this. And I do feel really old. But JR was like, you know, 40, it seems like you're closer to death. But it goes slower than you think it is. Oh. And he's just like, it's just the longest road, man. And he's like, you're like, and I started feeling a little bit depressed.
Ah, so you did the opposite of what you wanted.
Yeah, it just, I'm really thinking about this age a lot more than I thought I would. I didn't think I would care about 40, but for some reason I'm like obsessed with being so over the hill or whatever.
You've never looked better though, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I was even looking at you down the hallway. I was like, he looks so slender and young. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
I like that. Yeah. I laugh because I'm blushing.
Yeah,
and that's a feeling I'm not used to.
And you look great in all the dessert promo stuff and you on screen. I was thinking about my own face and I was like, I want to... we're not going to get into this again because I know our audience hates when we start talking about our bodies, so we just can't do it.
When you start talking.
Yeah, no, but I just want to be a little more chiseled in the face after I saw your face.
Do you, when you, just a personality thing, when you like see like Shane in these promos or whatever, or anything, someone's turning a birthday, do you look at everything through the prism of your own brain and vanity?
A little bit.
Maybe we all do.
Yeah, I think we all probably do to a degree. But also, like, I'm sort of a public person, so I have to kind of think about how I stack up with my peers.
Got you.
I can't have Shane looking too much hotter than me.
No.
A little bit hotter is fine, but not too much.
No, you've been looking very good too, Max, if we're throwing compliments around.
Thank you.
And you guys have a new video out directed by Mark Myers for Laundrophile. It looks fantastic.
I think I look pretty hot in that one.
That's what I was watching. I was like, damn, I don't think Max is this good looking, but he looks so good looking here. No, because I know you so well, I'm blind to your appearance. Like, people are blind to my tattoos. So I forget. I'm like, are my friends good looking? Sometimes I forget who is and who isn't.
Mark really directed me very well. He was like, Max, don't break eye contact from the camera lens. He's like, make sweet, sweet, dirty love to that camera
lens. He didn't say that.
Not dirty love, but he said to look very sensually.
Well, you have kind of a pained, sexy face. Like you do something where you, like, what is the face? Can you do it now? It's like you're biting. You're doing something like that. We're noticing it. Alex and I were watching it. We're like, what is that face he's doing?
But yeah.
It worked for you.
Alex like it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice. We thought you looked very good.
Oh, good. I love it.
But we were describing how unusual the face was. And it was
unusual. The face was.
Yes.
This is devolving into a. What started out as a pump up for him, you were now just making him insecure.
Oh, yeah. I'm like cousin Greg here.
This happened to me in New Orleans, too. It was funny. I was there for like, 10 minutes. And then a guy comes up to me. He goes, you think racism exists?
And he's got a drink in his hand. And I'm like, oh, is he going to throw it at me if I don't answer this correctly? So I'm like, yeah, racism exists. And he goes, yeah, in the South it does, right? For here it exists. You probably see it everywhere. I go, well, I'm from Canada. We just landed. And I'm from like Toronto where it's very eclectic mix of people and everything. And then he's like, it exists here. Okay. It exists in the South.
Is this how they greet you at the airport now in New Orleans?
No, this was once we got in like the city.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But he was kind of being nice, but a little bit like I was walking that like razor's edge of like, what's going on here? What does he want? Mm-hmm. And then he wanted me to support him and like give him some money. I'm like, I actually, I don't have any money. And then I'm like, but I'm going to the store. I can get some. He's like, okay. And then he walked with me for 10 minutes. But we had this like very, like I was stumbling around nervous conversation. Like I was talking about Max's appearance.
Oh, and, like cousin Greg.
Yeah.
Like, well, thou shall. I believe thou shall. Well, and then he starts talking old timey language.
Yeah. We were talking about racism the whole time. And I don't like know a lot about history or anything. I know it exists, obviously, but I was just mumbling my way through like my fake knowledge of it.
Did you talk about the Civil War or anything like that?
I don't know anything. I'm just like, yeah, it's very bad to do that. Reminded me mumbling around like my cousin Greg.
The other thing I wanted to say before we get to New Orleans is that we're giving lots of compliments to Shane here.
Yeah.
But Mike, you were talking about the amount of life chats you've had together in your friendship. And I think in our friend group, we are very lucky to have lots of guys that are very kind of open with their feelings and can be vulnerable and like sharing sort of like the confusing parts of life. And I think, and I can think of many different friends over the years that have been that person for me, like depending on where I'm at or what my relationship is with them, like different roommates and stuff over the years. But I think Mike is one of the best people to like have a chat with at the bar and talk about anything and everything in both the most like granular kind of way, but also the most specific way.
Yeah.
It's like, 'cause you don't just pontificate in like big picture ways, but you like So you can really get in the nitty gritty of a thing, but you can also talk about like, the meaning of life in a very broad way.
But wait, isn't granular when it gets specific?
I thought granular was very
big. You think like grand. I've made that mistake before. You mean in like a big picture way?
I meant, okay.
But granular does actually, details.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought my whole life I'd understood that.
No, I got it wrong.
Me too, though. Yeah, no, you had it right, but I've done what you've done, Max, lots.
But Shane, what do you think it is about Mike as a conversationalist that makes him so inviting to talk about whatever is going through your mind in whatever stage you're at in your life?
Confidence. Confidence is good. Mike, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, Mike kind of, he likes hearing his voice talk. and this is a good, he's very comfortable and confident. He knows words. He knows how to use them.
He knows
them.
Words.
Well, sometimes I have words in my head or like a feeling of words, but I don't know how to say it. So I'll just sit back and be a little bit quieter. But Mike knows how to get what's in his head out and describe it perfectly. Mm. And I think that is a skill that maybe, I don't know, 1 in 100 people have.
Also, Mike is a tactician and a very good reader of social situations. Mm. And you're also very good at this too, Shane, like human psychology. And you're very good at sort of predicting and playing things out. And
yes,
I don't know how good you are necessarily for yourself sometimes. I think sometimes, and we're all blind to our own like situation sometimes. But as an advice giver, you guys are both very, very good at reading the situation.
Well, because I'm always in dilemmas, I'm good at getting out of dilemmas. So if a friend is in a dilemma, I can get them out of it because I get into so many.
Mike, do you take pride though in that role in your friends' lives? Do you consider yourself to be that person?
No, not in like that specific of a way, but if people do, if our friends think of me like that, or like I just want to be a good hang. And I like discussing big picture things, and I want to help friends. You know, if somebody's, all three of us have been in situations where we've had to lean on each other at times, and you go for a drink and you try and solve not only our problems, but maybe the world's problems. Mm-hmm. And that's what sitting in a pub for 5 hours is really, I love that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I enjoy it, like, because I don't know, I don't know, but I don't think of myself as a person like that necessarily.
You are the ringleader. You're the center of any pub conversation I've ever been. And I love nothing more than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really love
it. That's nice. That's
if you're going to, and this happens on like bachelor trips and stuff too. It's like if you happen to be like in Mike's corner of the big table, you know it's going to be a great conversation.
Yes. Well, there will be a conversation. Even if it's not great, you know there'll be a conversation. There's something comforting about that. Uh-huh. The worst is when you're at you got me, Psycho, and I don't know, somebody else. It's just like, who's going to start this? Like, I'm a chimer inner, right? I'm not
who's the alpha leader of the thing?
Yeah. Like if it's like Sean Dawson, who's great, but he's not going to like keep it going to an awesome level, right? Like he's a chimer inner like me. You can't have two chimer inners together and a guy who doesn't say shit, right?
Two chimer inners and a guy who doesn't say shit. You, Sean, is like,
yeah, you got to like, you know, you're like Mike.
Yeah, I'm not as good as Mike. I'm lesser than Mike, but I occupy that role. If I'm in the mood, I'm not always in the mood, but
we got lots of guys that are really good at that. And like you said, I think that's part of one of the strengths of like having good friends, or our group in particular, is that we can all be there for each other in that way. That's nice. Why you're coming with the compliments today?
Yeah, what happened?
Shane's, are you sick? Are you okay? Are you gonna be with us for a while?
Because
you're talking about how beautiful Shane looks. You're complimenting my personality. It's nice. This is like the nicest, you know, day I've had in a long time.
I love you guys. Okay, so tell us about New Orleans.
It was great.
So this is really, I did a count, actually. I pulled it up on my phone.
Are you
this
doing a vacation count?
Yeah, you're on 11 vacations in the last 4 months.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
list them. How do you even know that? That's bullshit.
No, I just made that. I'm
I know. I can tell. That was good. That was okay acting, but that number's too high. By the way, everything I do is this weird mix of work and vacation.
That's like me, though.
Yeah, it's not a competition. I'm just telling you, you should know more than anyone.
It's true.
Right?
It's actually,
not the
all
pain
the things
Olympics.
I do, actually, I've been on, I guess, lots of little mini vacations. I've been in Miami, I've been in Phoenix, I've been in LA. It's all going to work, a little play.
But this trip, I thought, I'll let Alex do all the social media work because, you know, we did the hotel that we stayed at was very nice, but it was also a deal.
Like an influencer deal,
I'll call it. So I thought, I'm just going to relax and let her do more because it's my 40th birthday. However, Mike and I got another freelance gig.
Oh, yeah. Did a little bit of writing.
Yeah, so
that's cool. Can I know what it is about?
I don't think so.
Well, just in very generic terms.
Let's tell off Mike.
Yeah, we got a freelance gig. And I'm like, do I take it or do I not? Because I'm going to be working on this fully leading up to the trip, potentially a little bit into the trip.
Is it just you and Alex down there?
Yes.
Oh, just the two of you.
But in some ways, I'll have more time to work on it down there.
Because you're kid-free. Yes. Yeah.
So I did the quick math and I'm like, if I don't take it, it's going to be on my mind the whole time. I will be working on it anyway, and I'll be regretting not doing it. Mm-hmm. If I do take it, I'll actually have to do the work. So it's like, what do I do? Talk to Mike about it. Mike's like, ah, I don't know. Then Mike comes up with a great idea. He goes, let's team up. Let's be a little, what'd you say? We'll be a...
Like an agency, like where it's like a writing team or whatever.
And I'm a great bouncer offer guy. And I love that synergy or that energy or whatever it is. So we're like, great. We say, yes, we'll do it. And we go, how many scripts do you want? We're expecting 3 to 5, maybe. We hear back 20. 20 scripts. So we're like, fuck. Mike and I are like, screw the agency, because you can't come up with 20 ideas together. There's going to be overlap. And it's like, whose idea is who? We're going to be fighting. So we're on our own.
It's like, you do 10, I'll do 10 sort of deal.
Yeah. So we agree to this on a Thursday night. And the first batch of 5 scripts is due on the Monday coming up. And I leave for my trip very early Monday morning. But I want to get the whole batch of 10 scripts done before I leave on the trip, so I don't have to be thinking about this while we're on a vacation. So I'm trying to find a large chunk of time somehow. Friday's my 40th birthday. Saturday is my daughter's birthday party. Sunday is Mother's Day. Something's gotta go. Right. So obviously I had to choose my 40th birthday, but we're going to New Orleans. We'll celebrate it there. It's like, who cares? So on the Friday, I put in a 12-hour day and I get 8 ideas that I think are really solid. Some are fully fleshed out and almost full scripts, and others are just concepts that I can just flesh out on a later day. In my mind, I'm like 70% done the project. Saturday, kids' birthday party. Oh, this birthday party is really exhausting me. By the time the day's over, I work on it a little bit, but it's kind of bullshit work. Sunday, Mother's Day. Got to go drive to like Oakville to drop off flowers, go to another. I got 4 moms to take care of. There's a lot of stuff going on. End of the day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down to work on the last 2 concepts and then I'm done. Don't have to think about this job the rest of the trip. Uh-oh, it's bedtime because I got to wake up for 3 a.m. to go to the airport. I'm like, oh, I'll do it on the plane. And I'm on the plane. I'm like, I'm a little tired. I'm going to sleep on this ride. Then the Monday happens. And then I'm like, Alex, you got to help me out. We got to work as a team. We're like a little agency. So I start pacing around, get her on the computer, coming up with some ideas. I'm like, okay, go take a swim. So when she swims, then I go on the computer. I try to flesh it out. This goes on for 12 hours. I send the first 5 scripts. Mm-hmm. I hear back, Mike, Shane, these ideas are phenomenal. You guys are killing it. So I get all this feedback. I'm feeling great. But then I start thinking, oh, no, what if my first 5 scripts were the good scripts and now I'm all out of good ideas with my next batch? Because sometimes all the good ideas come to you early. Anyway, with that in mind, I'm trying to work on the next batch of 5 scripts, which is due in a couple days. But again, I want to get everything done as soon as possible. Finally get 5 scripts done. But then I look at them and 2 of the scripts are funny. 2 of the scripts are sincere. But 1 of them could go either way on how it's perceived. And I think it's leaning more comedic. And the problem with that is the ask was that 3 of the scripts be not comedic and 2 of them be...
Like 3 sincere, 2 comedic.
Yeah. So I'm in kind of a tricky position. I mean, do I submit the 5 scripts that I consider good, but risk 1 of them being perceived as comedic over sincere and potentially being asked to write another script on my vacation? Or do I spend a bit of time and write a bonus script and be considered the guy who goes above and beyond?
Yeah. Okay.
And this is where I get in terrible creative trouble. Yeah. This is like the worst creative trouble I've ever been in my life.
So creative trouble.
I go, Alex, I'm going to write 1 more script. Give me 1 hour. I will just bang it. She's like, oh, just send the 5. I go, no, I need to. Trust me, it'll actually save us time. So I come up with this concept. It's kind of shit. I go, sit down. What do you think of this? She goes, this is kind of good, but let me reword some stuff and like sound.
So she's
more
helping.
She's a great help. And she's an English teacher. She helps with me with sending an email. She'll help me. So I'm like, this is pretty good, but it's a bonus script. So I go, let's see if we put this in the chat, GPT.
Oh.
And let's see. So, and I never use it this way. Just fix a couple sentences here. I put it together. I send it and I don't hear back.
Mm.
And then I'm just sitting there in the pool with Alec. And I put this script first. Day goes, but I don't hear anything. The day after, he goes, did you use ChatGPT to write some of this script? I'm like, oh, no. I've been had, and I only used it for the bonus script.
Yeah,
you need to pacing around. I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'm a fraud. What is the limitations? Can you use ChatGPT, like Google, to help you out? Or like, you know how you use Rhyme Zone to write a song or something? Yeah. I'm like, what is the line? Did I cross an ethical line? And I mean, the concept was still 100% mine. I still wrote an entire script. And I called him. He didn't answer the phone. I'm calling him like repeatedly. He finally answers. He's like, Shane, I use ChatGPT. He's just telling me. He's like, I use it. It's a tool. But this doesn't sound like you. And this, he's like, How much did you use? I'm like, I just use it for the one. And I
this is blowing my mind. This is the first I've heard of this story. This is amazing. Every word, I'm so fascinated.
I was about to tell it to you. Well, that's why we were late getting
back. We were chatting and then you guys showed up.
And I was like, let me save it for the pod. Because saying this on the pod actually relieves me of a lot of guilt. There.
Yes.
And it's like one of those, am I the asshole? Because it was a bonus script. So you are getting bonus. And arguably, it was also a very boring idea.
Right.
But as you know, Mike, in the world of when you do some of these, you give some great ideas. What always gets picked, though? It's the most meat and potatoes boring one. They go, we love this idea. However, we went with...
Yeah, the great ones are the more risky ones. Sometimes people make the choices are like, well, let's just go with what we know, which is a more conventional idea.
Yes.
This is what, I guess, what do you want to call it?
This was basically, the whole spot was people talking to camera and then showing B-roll.
It just helped you with what? The script? Like the dialogue?
Just like how to word the concept. Yeah. Sometimes I have trouble articulating.
I can't believe he sussed that out. That's
great.
How did
he figure it out?
This is so funny. I did not use it. I think you can't even get on it anymore. I've never used it. I've seen you've shown me stuff that, like, when you started first playing with it, we did like a script on here that like tried to do a pod for us talking about AI. So I have no relationship with it, but I'm not gonna lie, so when we were like, when it was time for me to sit down and do like my 5 and 5 mm-hmm. for the different design shows, I was sitting there kind of up like, and I'm like, and I was kind of staring at my blank computer with like the thing blinking as you're about to write. Mm-hmm. Like that moment, I'm just like, okay, V-man, like, your brain mm-hmm. never lets you down.
No.
Think of something, and you just sit there and you think of, and you're trying. And it crossed my mind because I know you were so ahead on this AI. I wonder if Shane is using fucking ChatGPT to knock on his head, because I knew you were time crunched. And I was like, now I'm competing with Shane's brain, which is a wonderful brain, creative brain, but he's also got the fucking power of the entirety of the internet behind him, curated through ChatGPT. So I actually wondered, and I got in a fake thing where I was annoyed at you doing it, Mike, in my brain. And then I went, he's not going to do that.
I got into a fake thing too. Cause okay. So I'm thinking, Mike, he's just writing a fucking song back there. And I bet you he's recording that song and he's using Rhyme Zone. Because you and I had wrote a song the day before we got this, where we pulled up Rhyme Zone.
We got into a jam.
So
we
then my ethical lines get all fucked, and I'm just thinking, it's cheating. It's like Greg sending me a video birthday message. It's you're fishing with dynamite. It's just like touching your heart. So of course, when I call, I go, which idea did you like the best? He goes, well, Mike wrote a song. They're like, they like it. I'm like, did he record it? He did. He recorded it. I'm like, that's fucking cheating. I'm like, to me, that's cheating. You can't do that.
That is so funny. Because
they always pick the song.
It's hilarious.
So am I the asshole? I'm not saying the other person is an asshole, but is this an asshole move? If it's a bonus script, so you're going above and beyond.
I don't even know if it wasn't a bonus script, you'd be the asshole. Don't people just use it all the time?
That's what I'm wondering.
Like, I know there's a writer's strike, so maybe you cross the picket line somehow.
By writing, I crossed the picket line.
So you actually brought up a lot of interesting, you've sort of covered some stuff that I've been thinking about when it comes to this. And so part of me is like, I'm like, so if you're, you know, the person who gave us the freelance gig, is like, he's an amazing writer too.
Yes.
So when he said to you, which is so fascinating to me, it's like, this doesn't sound like you. He's actually hiring us for our voices.
Yeah.
In my case, my singing voice. Our writing voice, the way we write. Because we do, even though like we have different styles, even like on our straight ahead scripts or our talk to camera sort of stuff, they're going to be different. Mm-hmm. And if we all end up going through ChatGPT, maybe it does become like, is the word homogenized? Or like the idea that it's like, the fact that he could suss it out, obviously he knows your comedic voice so well, but.
Yeah, it wasn't comedic, but continue.
To me, maybe that's where he's like, well, I could just do this if you're him.
Right.
So it's like he hired us for our I think maybe.
But I think if you use ChatGPT, you would know it's not at the level where it can write a script. It just simply can't write a good script.
What it can do is if you're saying some sentence, you just go, give me another option of this sentence. It can do that. And then you can try it a bunch of different ways and amalgamate it. But you simply can't say, write me a script and have it be any way close to being decent.
Yeah.
You would know if you use it, you totally. Essentially just becomes one big curation, which I mean, when you're doing a commercial, you know what it's like. That's all you're doing. You're looking up the company's past commercials. You're finding products that are similar and looking at their commercials or looking up movie scenes that you like and stealing inspirations from all these things and hopefully coming up with something that's new. Like even when I'm asking Alex for ideas, there's hundreds of bad ideas being thrown out there, and sometimes she'll have a really good idea that I'll dust off and make my own. So I feel like I'm being hired for my tastes and how my brain can find what's actually good or would work in a commercial.
And my competitive brain is like, this guy's over there taking steroids. And no. I'm sitting here just taking swings at the ball. Like in my brain. But then I was like, nah, no. So it's so funny to me after all of this and that 5 minutes I took to be like, I was like cursing the skies where I'm like, I could be taking a shortcut right now. But I just-
You did, Mike. Your beautiful voice, your talent in writing songs. You don't think that's cheating?
It was one thing. So speaking of songs and technology and ChatGPT, Max, has it ever crossed your mind? Will I ever start? Because you do co-write sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a million ways you come up with your music, which is your art and your living. Have you started to think, oh, man, am I going to start relying on talent? Or maybe you already have and we don't
know. No, write. I haven't. I use RhymeZone, though, sometimes. I do. Yes. I do that. I feel like I don't want to mess with it because I feel the way about ChatGPT. GPT?
P.
P. As I do about like flying in first class, like you don't want to get too used to it. Cause you don't, cause then when you have to go back to your normal thing, then you're like, I kind of missed like the sweet ride of first class. And I don't want to get too good at just in case I have to use my own brain sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I feel about it.
My problem is I got so used to using it as a Googling device that then I was like, oh, this is pretty much the same as Google. So for instance, one of the objectives here was to write a script that was about being from Australia. Mm-hmm. So I Googled, give me Australian terms. Then I'm like, what am I doing? Ask ChatGPT. It's like advanced Google. So I type in, give me unique Australian term. It gives me all the rarest Australian terms, much better than Google. Could I have gotten it from Google? Yes. So I'm like, I'm just working smarter here. However, now I've been burned by it and I feel like, I don't know if I can ever use it again now.
You know, it's pretty cool not to keep on the compliment train here, but you two, it's funny to hear your inner monologues about what the other person is doing because you are great partners and you admire each other, but you also are a little competitive within one another.
You have to be.
But what is cool is that, and I've thought this for a very, very long time, if you were to be like, who is the better writer? Who's the funnier person? Like, I'd be like, I don't know. Like, it's Lennon McCartney, you two. Like, you know, seriously, it kind of depends on what your mood is for whose style of writing or thinking, but they're like equally good. Like, and I really mean that. Like, it's very like, and it kind of depends. Like, if I want something that's like a little bit more formal and like traditional, I'll ask Mike. If I want something that's a little more gonzo, I'll ask Shane. But you're both equally good, which is very unique because I feel like there's very few creative partnerships that I can think of that I don't imagine one person to be like the star. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys are very Lennon McCartney and like it just depends on what your mood is.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Speaking of writing, I love Succession so much.
Oh, yeah. We're one episode away.
One episode away. That's Hopefully it. We get this episode out before the final episode. But the writing is so fucking funny and it's so sharp. And this season's like my favorite season of TV ever, maybe. Like, it's just so spectacular. And it makes me want to write a television show. And and because I'm delusional, I have like lead singer confidence. I'm like, yeah, we should just do it. And we should just do the three of us together and just make a TV show. I know you guys have just made a TV show.
Yeah.
But I want a TV show that is like
written by you.
Not even written by me. Created by me. You guys write.
Right. Yes.
But you know, sometimes it's funny because it can take all sorts of forms. Like, say the three of us actually as a not an experiment, but as like a, what do you want to call it? A project or a task. Let's sat in a room and try to write like a show or whatever. I think you would contribute great ideas in a roundabout way that maybe you wouldn't sit down and structure it out perfectly. Yeah. But it's like you would be able to, that's what a writer's room is if you're trying to create something like that.
And I kind of do that with songwriting too. Like, I'm a little bit more in the nuts and bolts with songs, but like I do have big picture thoughts. And then I'm like, all right, who in the band or which producers can like help me get it there to like where it needs to be? But yeah, it would be very fun to write it, be on a show like that.
I also, I like your lead singer confidence and the simplicities with which you're like, I flew in a plane once. Like, I'd like to fly a plane. Like, it's just like anybody just get in there and do it. And maybe you could. Maybe anyone could fly a plane if you took a couple hours to figure it out.
Like photography, I think writing is one of those easy entry points into where almost anyone can do it.
And if you have like some kind of original voice and a little bit of taste, don't get me wrong, like, you know, I'm sure Book Club Maddie's listening to this being like, no, it's actually very technical and hard. And there's like, you know, there's a lot of different like principles to writing and storytelling that are like you have to hit that are like that if you don't know, you're going to miss and you're going to do a bad job of. But I do think like having like a voice and just the sort of the gall to do it is like half of the battle or something, you know what I mean? Or at least half the battle.
I agree.
But yeah, it'd be very fun because I'm just so addicted to that kind of British style of writing, because Jesse Armstrong, the creative succession, is British, where every line that is fucking hilarious is just muttered under their breath.
Yeah.
That style of comedy is so British and so, so fucking funny. And I think we should do a show like that. Could you guys write like that, do you think? Just like zingers under your breath?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. I just made a comment about your lead singer confidence. I tend to think, and this is a crazy thing, I was actually saying this to Mike D and your band in it. We were just like a couple weeks ago, we were drinking, and I found myself after a few beers saying that I think I can do everything well. I was like, I feel like if there's anything that I like put my mind to, kids, this is affirmational. There's nothing I can't really do except for maybe math. And so it's like, even as I was saying it, even now to Mike, I was like, I must sound like the biggest asshole in the world right now. It was like, hey, you want me to like write you something? I'll write you something. You want me to, you know, I'm going to direct something. I don't know how to explain it.
But I think you are. I think you're not wrong.
But it's a crazy thought on some level.
No, it's not a crazy thought.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it's like, maybe it's delusional. Maybe
construction work, though, could you do? Like, I know you could build an IKEA shelf.
Yes.
Could you put together a real shelf, go to Home Hardware from scratch and build it?
I think if I put my mind to it, I could figure it out.
Whoa, I didn't know that about you.
I think. But the thing is, there's so many things I haven't had to put my mind to. But like, yeah, like it's like, oh, I got to figure out how to like skate. Oh, I can figure out how to skate. I figured out how to skate. Like I can do things pretty confidently. Like, I can see and sort of do, I think, in some way. So like when you're like, oh, could we write in the style of Jesse Armstrong? I'm like, sure. But listen, I'm also like, Jesse Armstrong is a one in a million. There's literally right now 10,000 writers in Hollywood trying to write like Jesse Armstrong and sell shows like Succession, who are doing it every day, who probably have scripts that you would read and be like, why isn't this being made? And it's amazing.
We could do it better though.
Yeah. And by the way, that kind of confidence is how that's how shit gets built. That's how men build empires, or women. And it's like, it's the delusion on some level. And then, you know, what did it say? Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, I could be in a band. I'd get a record deal. I got a record deal. Yeah. Didn't last, but I got a record deal.
You got it.
You know what I mean? It's like, so I felt like my life over the last few years, I want to get a show. We had a show. Like I've been able to sort of figure things out to the point where I could, yeah, it's good. I've enjoyed whatever we've done, you know? I already think I'm sounding like an insane person.
No, it makes a little bit of sense. For me, I'm like that, but I think I can do nothing, right? But I think the things I think I can do, I can achieve anything that I want and get it.
Yes.
Like, because, yeah, I used to say, well, like when I like, you know, was 25 and didn't really have a good job or a high school diploma, I was like, my friend Bert, who's like this older man who I befriended, he's like, Shane, what are you going to do with your life? He was German. He wasn't German. He was fucking Dutch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, I'm just going to work at Much Music. He's like, how are you going to do that? I go, I'm going to enter a contest and trust me, they'll just pick me and I'll win. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Like it didn't happen. Like I had to go through the Much Music VJ search and win another contest at MTV, but it still kind of happened the way I said it would. Mm-hmm. And just like any, like if I wanted to like date somebody, I'd be like, I really got to like think about this person for a long time and like how we're going to date. And then I would date that person.
That's how you dated Katy Perry for 3 years.
It's true.
You're right though. And I don't know if that's the power of manifestation or we've just been very lucky, but enough things have broken. Like, listen, they always say, like I've had a lot of losses, but I've had enough wins where like, I know what that tastes like. I know what it feels like. And you kind of get like, you're like, yeah, it'll work out. Like something, it's going to happen. Yeah. Something will happen.
And these are the days too, back when Max thought I was hideous. These aren't like handsome shame. I could pull this off when I wasn't even looking.
No, you said your hottest age was in your 30s.
So I thought that, but you didn't think that. Uh-huh. Well, Ferg wants his money. He's calling me.
But I don't know. It's interesting. I think, yeah, we were just talking today about the show and we're on the press of the dessert, the sketch show that obviously Shane stars in with Jillian Smart and Bella Campbell, but when it comes out and how do you constitute success? This gets a bit to, we never talked about this. Giannis Antetokounmpo's speech about with the season of failure after they got bounced in the first round, they were a title favorite, and just like what success is and how the show will be considered success, what we consider success. Cause it's like, there's internal thoughts, there's external validation and all that. But it reminded me of that saying. And was this even, I don't know if this was this in Succession this week, but I've heard this saying a ton and I love it, which is that success has many parents and failure is an orphan. And maybe that wasn't, because if that doesn't ring a bell for Succession, then it wasn't.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I've heard it for years, but it's like, it's so true where it's like when something goes good, it's, oh, that's it. I was watching Air. And they all want to come up with Air Jordan. And so David Falk, MJ's manager, thinks he came up with it. The guy that designed the shoe, Peter something, thinks that he came up with it. And the movie did a very clever job of sort of how both people could have came up with it and took credit. But ultimately, that's a good saying. And I think a lot about that. It's like if something goes really well, well, everybody wants to claim some sort of ownership. But then when something sinks like a lead fucking tank.
I've been talking to Buchla Matty actually about the Giannis speech about how there's no such thing as failure.
Yeah.
And he aptly pointed out that it's like, well, Giannis can say that because he's won a championship. But for everybody, for Joel Embiid, who keeps getting knocked out early, or you know, everybody else who got fired this month and then coaches, it's like, well, like, if he were to deliver the same speech, would people be taking it the same way? And like, the answer is absolutely not.
I think I disagree with that. I think it's like an outlook of where we are as a people.
No, you can have your own personal outlook, but I'm saying that the way that...
So you're saying that there are quantifiable success and non-success.
I'm saying that everyone can have their own personal feelings on it, but for someone to deliver this speech, you have to be a particular kind of winner already.
But I think that's what Giannis is saying. Like, it's like everybody in the NBA is already a winner. They're millionaires playing a game. There's only one team that wins a championship every year. So if we say that you're not a success because you didn't win a championship, like
you might be a failure for having that mindset.
But do you think people, if let's say Harden gives the exact same speech word for word, are people lauding him? Do you think, oh, what a of genius guy. Maybe there.
I think if you say, well, because it's the way we look at anything. Like, what is a success? Is it getting the job of your dreams? Is it getting that job and then thriving? Is it like, is it getting out of like sort of a bad situation from when you're a kid? Like, there's so many levels of it. And now there are defined terms of what the ultimate winner in the NBA wins the championship. But that's one team. The other 29, are they failures? Maybe. I don't. And I think that's why Giannis's speech, if you guys haven't seen it, look it up, hit accord with so many people. Because like, on some level, if you're an extreme winner and you're someone that gets shit done, say you're like a Bay Street bro, you're like, that's fucking loser talk. It's loser talk. That's what people tell each other when, you know, you're just trying to make yourself feel better because you're not willing to do what it takes to get to the top. And don't give me this, everybody gets a trophy shit. I get that. It's okay. Okay. Well, we have lines in the sand. This is what a winner is. This is what a loser is. But I don't think life is lived like that. I don't think things are black and white. I think life is lived in the gray. I think the way that we perceive ourselves, the way that we perceive success, these are personal things. And even collectively now, our mindset is changing. If Giannis gave that speech literally 10 years ago, I think he would have got killed. I think now we're a lot more open to the idea of what success, I'm doing air quotes, is.
I think there's more losers in the world than winners. So losers like hearing a good, like, it's okay to be a loser.
I like the stake. I like the stake. Right? Yeah.
Because we may never win. Max, you're eye rolling me, but
no,
you know.
I agree. No, I agree. But do you think you have reached success just by making the show, or is something going to throw you off? They're like, people don't, not enough viewers.
This is the question.
Yeah, you know, how you guys feel about it?
Depends how broad you're looking at success. If you, your whole version of if you're successful it is lived in that whole show, then yes. For me, my life is so much bigger than the show, and whether I'm successful, like, my family's wrapped up into that, and my health and all of those things. So and for me, honestly, just to answer about the show though, making the show is the ultimate success.
Yeah, that's
what
I
insane
think.
And so few people get to do it that I've already won the championship and won
100%. And you've done exactly what you want. You've written exactly what you've acted exactly. You edited exactly the way you want. Like, everything is, that's huge.
And the counter for people that say, well, we have definable like meaning of success, which means the show's success if it not only makes its money back, the investment, there's a return investment, but it makes money. So it's like, well, what's, is the point for the, and this is why art and sort of like it being mixed together is so messy. This is the same with music. It's like, is making something quality and good its own success? Or is it, does it exist because art needs to exist in the world? We want to inspire people. We want to make people laugh. Or does it exist to make money? Does it have to make its money back? And the answer is, well, it wouldn't have been made, I don't think, on some level, if they didn't think it would make its money back, if it didn't have the chance to become something bigger and make money for the people who paid for it and all that stuff. So it's like, in that sense, there is a definable line of what is successful and what is not. But I think in a broader sense, it's like, just making the art or the show or the music or whatever itself is a worthy pursuit that can be deemed successful with, regardless of how many people watch it or hear it or engage with it, I think. But maybe that's loser talk.
I think you're talking about creative stuff, if you're trying to determine whether it's successful, it's like, depends on the person who made it, if they're happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're Arkell's latest album, if you're not happy with it and it sells gangbusters, you're not going to feel like it's successful. I don't.
Maybe.
See, that's everybody's different.
That's what I mean. It all depends on how you look at it.
But the inverse is true. Like, it's like, let's say nobody really likes it, but I can sleep at night every night knowing that we did everything we could, and I'm really proud of the music. So, and I think that's how you feel with the TV shows. Like, no one watches. You're like, I don't care. I love the show.
But you love winning too. You want to see big numbers. You want to like grow like that. Like, aside from just the monetary sort of reward that comes with that, I mean, that does that speak to your soul too?
It does, but more because it has to do with being able to do it again.
Yeah,
it's like, I remember Matt Healy saying something about like the way they make records. Like, we only like, we go on tour so we can make another record, and we make a record so we go on another tour. Yeah. It's like, you just want to keep, you know, fill in the tank so you can go do the thing again and not work a real job.
Because it could go away. And that's the thing. You want to keep the circus going because it is so unique and hard to get it up at the level that you guys have it at.
Yeah.
The ultimate metric, I think, is, are you happy?
Yeah. Yes.
For winning and losing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's hard to be happy all the time.
Yeah,
maybe.
You're generally content. Yeah.
I think this is like, you know, we're sort of going down these deep avenues of philosophical sort of outlook and how we view our lives. Like, I came to the conclusion some time ago, I like the idea that you can't be happy all the time, like you said, but all you can do is put yourself in the best position to be happy. That means, am I surrounding myself with people that are, I got a high percentage of being happy if I'm around those people? Do I want to be in a partnership with, you know, my wife? Does that make me happy? Does that mean that I also miss out on things? And then on that some level, I'm like, oh, it's like I used to do this and it'd make me happy to do that. But if I do more of this all the time, my net gain for life happiness, my tank will be more full more often if I make these choices and live my life this way. And that's what I've done probably for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are also times where you kind of look at, you know, the grass is always greener.
Yeah, like, me.
you know, yeah. Max is just living a fun boy life over here. And it's like, and so you go, okay, well, you know, and everybody's happy doing different things. You know what I mean? It's like, and that's like, it's a personal question and you need to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if anybody's ever truly 100% mm-hmm. happy, but you know, we're all like doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Like as far as our career, our lives, you know what I mean? Our friendships. Mm-hmm. We're rich in love, fellas.
We are rich in love.
It's kind of a weird pod episode.
I like it. Let's wrap it up.
Weird in a good way.
We're too deep. I don't want to examine this too much. What did you say on Jesse Christian's podcast? Guys are scared of tough conversations.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good insight. Mm-hmm. I was listening. Max was on Jesse.
Crookshanks.
Yeah, her podcast. What's it called?
Call a friend.
Yeah. You were really good on that podcast.
Oh, thank you. I was happy with my
circle back and listen to that if you have a chance. But I thought that answer was really good.
Yeah, what's the one thing that men are afraid of? And I was like, hard conversations.
Yeah, she loved that answer too.
I hung with her in LA. She was great.
That's good. Yeah, how was LA?
LA was awesome.
Oh my God, you had a big show.
Yeah, we had a show. Saw some friends.
Wasn't there a kid in the hall there?
Oh, Dave Foley was there.
Yeah.
Producer Nathan hung out with Dave Foley till like 2 a.m. He came to the show and then came to the after party hang at a bar next door. And I just, every time I looked over, it was just Dave Foley and Nathan just hanging out.
It's weird. I saw text in our text group, but it seemed like out of context. It was just like in the middle of the story. It seemed like, I was like, why is he with Dave Foley? I had no idea what was going on there. But can you share anything that was like said, or is it all secret?
We'll have to get Nathan. Maybe Nathan can like make a little voice note and talk about it and put it at the end of the podcast.
I like it.
Yeah, Nathan, do that. Just give us a little rundown about what you guys talked about.
Insert your hang with Dave Foley.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Producer Nathan here with a little voice note on my conversation with Dave Foley. It was a great night. Yeah. After the Arkells show down in L.A., we went to a bar and I happened to look over at one point and see Dave just hanging out, having a drink. So I walked over there to say hi, and we had a great conversation, lasted like a couple hours. We shut down the bar, and I think what was sort of interesting and maybe what sort of piqued Dave's interest and why the conversation lasted as long as it did, he probably gets a lot of people coming up to him and talking about Kids in the Hall. And obviously Dave and the rest of the Kids in the Hall gang are comedy legends, but I actually went to thank him for his work on this this holiday special called Prep and Landing. It's something that my kids and I watch every year over the holidays. And he plays the main elf called Wayne. Yeah, I just thanked him for his work because it's something that I watch with my two girls every single year. And Dave also mentioned how he watches them every year with his daughter. So we bonded a bit over that. But he talked very fondly of his work there and his work with the Disney crew and the animators. And he actually gave a really big shout out that he felt like, he actually didn't do too much work. All the credit goes out to the animators. And the conversation just continued. He talked about, the history of Kids in the Hall, talked a lot about the importance that Lorne Michaels had and basically how Lorne stood up for the guys to ensure that they had complete and full creative control over the show, and just how much that meant to them, and showed how much Lorne believed in the work and that they were doing, and just fully believed in the type of show that they wanted to produce and put out on TV. And at one point, Dave was talking about, growing older and, what that means, looming death, as he called it, what that means from in terms of a lasting legacy. And while I think some people would say Dave already has a lasting legacy in Canada and in comedy. But for him, what matters most is if he managed to make someone's day a little better or a little easier. And then that's really the goal. And that's more important to him than any lasting legacy beyond. So yeah, shout out to Dave. Thanks for a great chat and a great night. And back to the pod.
All right. Well, the show went great, though. The
show was great. It was amazing to see. We saw Matt Unsworth.
Nice.
We saw Tim and Jess. We, Yeah.
Didn't you see Justin Stockman?
We saw, yeah, Justin Stockman came to the show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, David Kynes came to the show. We had a bunch of like Canadian
David Kynes, nice. Yeah. Nice. So Justin came to the show. That's great.
Yeah, we debuted Laundry Pile, our new song.
There. How'd that go in a room?
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. People love this song. Someone already got a tattoo with a Laundry Pile.
How do you feel about that?
Love it.
All right, well, that's it. That's all. That is our episode. Great hang. I feel like we're a little deeper than we normally go, but that's like just it. What happens sometimes. We haven't seen each other in a while. Thank you so much, Nathan Nash, for everything he does. I really do hope he inserted a note here of some sort, which I'm excited to hear once this pod comes out. And thank you to Ash, who's been in this small, sweaty edit bay with us for the whole time. All right. Good episode.
Great.
No, good hang. Great hang.
The best.
Maybe the best.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.